Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Birla New Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Meet Shah from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you, Sejal. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Birla New Limited's Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call for investors and analysts. Today, we have with us Mr. Akshat Seth, Managing Director and CEO of the company, and Mr. Rajat Kapadia, CFO. We will first have Mr. Akshat Seth making his opening comments, and he'll be followed by Mr. Ajay, who will take you to the financial perspectives. Before you begin, I'd like to point out that certain statements made in today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and details in this regard are available in the earnings presentation, which has been shared with you earlier. I'd like to invite Mr. Akshat Seth to present his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Meet, and good afternoon, everyone. Is the line clear, Meet, from our side?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks. So good afternoon, everyone, and it's my pleasure to welcome you all to the Q4 and FY25 earnings call for Birla New. And at the outset, I will also ask for a little more time. So today's comments are probably slightly longer than usual because there is a lot of news and good news to share with all of you. So the first and foremost, HIL is now Birla New, and this transformation represents our collective aspiration to be a leading global provider of innovative, sustainable home and building solutions. From our perspective, it's a strategic evolution that underscores our commitment to innovation, sustainability, and a customer-first approach. It's not just a brand change. It extends across our people, processes, and digital initiatives, ensuring we remain ahead in a rapidly evolving industry. As many of you, our partners, already know, we've been working for over a year on a deep strategic transformation, both here in India and at Paradeon. And this transformation, as we have shared before, is not just about scale or structure, but it is about the intent and the direction in which we are taking the company. And hence, this rebranding honors the strength of our legacy while pushing us to reimagine the future. Most of you might have a question on what Birla New stands for. Birla New reflects our forward-looking ambition, but also our deep-rooted heritage. So the name Birla within it reflects our legacy of trust, resilience, and excellence, and the new speaks to what lies ahead: a world that's faster, more digital, design-led, and deeply conscious of sustainability. Importantly, with this rebrand, we now have a unified brand architecture under which the full breadth of our offerings across pipes, construction chemicals, putty, roofs, walls, and floors will be represented. This alignment will help every customer and every partner understand who we are and what we stand for. This rebranding is at the heart of a strong strategic push towards fast-paced value-building growth. As stated earlier, we want to double ourselves as a company over the next 3 years and inch closer to our ambition of being a billion-dollar company. This growth will come through 4 levers. First, we are looking to build scale in high-growth categories like pipes, construction chemicals, designer boards, and blocks. Second is expansion of our global footprint, and that's being done not just at Paradeon, which is going deeper into markets like the U.S., China, Middle East. But for the India portfolio also, we are actively looking to find export markets. The third lever is to play across home and interior space beyond our strength in building products. and hence the India launch of Paridor is an important step in that direction. And finally, the fourth lever is around building the ability to play across B2C, B2B and B2G channels. So that's a quick overview of the rebranding exercise that we did and the strategic underpinning of that exercise. Let me now move towards the performance of the year and some highlights. I will first paint the big picture and then get into the individual segments. Overall, uncertain market, macroeconomic and weak demand scenario across our markets made FY25 a challenging year. Further, there were price declines by 2 to 5% across most of our product categories, placing significant margin pressures. For pipes, the decline was more than 10% driven by a meltdown in PVC resin prices. In this scenario, we chose to focus on three things. While the market was weak, there were pricing challenges. Our first focus was to gain market share in the identified growth segments of pipes, construction chemical, and at Paridor. We believe on this front, we have outperformed the market in terms of volume growth across these segments and places us well to gain when the growth actually picks up. Second focus was on agile cost management to minimize the impact of soft pricing regime and sales on our margins. Undertook focused missions across our product categories on contribution margin improvement. We optimized our manpower costs and calibrated our hiring. Therefore, nearly across all the categories, this is an important point to note, the margin erosion was significantly lower than the price decline experienced in the market. At the same time, and this is the third priority that we focused on, we were still working on judicious investment for long-term growth. And these investments were in the area of capacity enhancement, product innovation, branding, technology, and sustainability initiatives. In terms of results, our consolidated revenue in FY25 was 3,615 crores, which was 7% higher than last year. And we finished at an operating margin EBITDA of INR 88 crores. This was driven by strong growth in our pipes and construction chemicals segments and robust performance at Paridor. Pipes for us is now the second largest segment in India. Importantly, the non-roofs part of our portfolio, so the non-charminar part, is now over 70%. If you recall, this is a metric that we had highlighted. We want to strategically shift, and the first signs of those efforts are now visible. So again, at our FY25 level, 7% growth over last year and some important metrics now moving in the right direction, especially driven by the growth that we have seen in the pipes, in the construction chemical and in Paridor. If I talk specifically of quarter four, we believe we left quarter four on a strong wicket and on a strong momentum. While the market weakness has continued, what that means is that we now have the first glimpse of the impact of the various strategic initiatives at play. We registered a 9% revenue growth in quarter four over last year and a 14% improvement in profitability for the quarter. And these are important signals on where this momentum is headed. Let me now walk you through how this performance has panned out across the various segments. In the pipe segments, pipe segment, we delivered strong performance through the year and it's visible both in the quarter four and the FY25 numbers. And we achieved record-breaking volume growth, establishing ourselves as one of the fastest-growing players in this segment. For us, we achieved 66% revenue growth in quarter four and 57% revenue growth for the full fiscal year, driven primarily by nearly 80% volume growth in quarter four and 76% overall. So at a headline level, the volume growth for the year in pipes for us was 76%, and which is what significantly drove our revenue performance as well. You would appreciate this strong performance has come despite PVC prices remaining volatile and operating at near decadal levels as of end March. In this segment, apart from numbers, the successful acquisition and integration of Prestia was a key achievement. With that, we have grown the top-line brand in the retail segment. The institutional segment, especially driven by Jal Jeevan Mission, saw soft demand due to delayed fund flows from the government side. However, we remain optimistic about revival of this segment in FY26, given the increased government allocation and the activity in that segment. The construction chemical segment recorded a revenue growth of 23% during the year, and our initiatives to deepen the market penetration, broaden the product portfolio, and enhance brand visibility are starting to yield results. Important milestone crossed here. At a March run rate level, we crossed the 100 crore per annum mark for this business, which is significant given that this business was started less than 2 years ago. In the roofs business, we sustained our leading market share and superior price and profitability positioning to finish the year with a revenue of 1134 crores. This is despite intense competition and price erosion that the segment saw in the market all of last year. In the wall segment, which we used to call building solution earlier, at a blended level, we remained largely flat during the year with a revenue of about 539 crores. Importantly, stable operating profitability of 10% in this segment has to be seen in the context of a near 3% price erosion, which indicates the impact of disciplined margin management initiatives that we deployed to offset the price erosion that happened. The Parador story all of last year and especially in the last quarter is interesting. We have continued to build momentum quarter on quarter. For FY25, we registered a 7% revenue growth and a 9% volume growth, which is a significant outperformance both at an industry metrics and compared to our closest competitors. In quarter four alone, and quarter four for us was one of the best quarters we've had in nearly 3 years. Our revenue grew by 10% and it was a combination of both volume growth at 8% and a 2% price increase. This is now the first time after almost 10 to 12 quarters that price increases are now being slowly introduced in the market, and that is reflective of the brand investment that we have done over the last year and a half. With strong margin delivery, the company reported a positive EBITDA of €1.7 million for the quarter. Overall, Parador's performance reflects resilience and opportunity in the face of adversity. Despite recessionary macroeconomic conditions and weak consumer sentiment, which led to a slowdown in construction and flooring demand across core European markets. Despite this, we were able to pivot effectively, leveraging levers around pricing, sales team reorganization, and expanding into new markets. We have doubled down on growth through commercial segments, product innovation, and improved execution. Equally, strong cost discipline was maintained and capital deployment was optimized to ensure lean operations. I'll take two more minutes because beyond numbers, I want to share some important updates from quarter four. And I'll share only four key achievements, which in a way signify our push towards growth, towards innovation, and towards sustainability. The first milestone I want to share with you all is the commissioning of our Chennai Line 2. And with that, we have doubled our AAC block capacity in Chennai to 4 lakh cubic meters per year, making it one of the largest such facilities in the country. And it underscores the commitment to grow profitably in this fast-growing category. The second update is on the start of a new state-of-the-art greenfield plant for OPVC pipes in Patna, which represents the next generation of pipe technology and makes us one of very few players in the industry to have access to this technology. We introduced, and this is now the third update, we introduced an industry-first innovation with the use of organic-based stabilizers in UPVC pipes, eliminating the use of heavy metals. This, along with recent certifications such as Green Pro, Harit Bharat in India, and EMAS for Paradol, underscores our commitment to strengthen our sustainability credentials. And the last update I want to share is on the launch of Paradol in India, marking our expansion into the home and interior space. And the results of the first few months of efforts are very encouraging. As I have shared with this group, investment in the right leadership and frontline teams is a key part of the strategic agenda. For Birla Nu, we recently welcomed our new CHRO, CIO, and CBO for our walls business in India and created dedicated leadership for our CC and putty business. For Paradol, we onboarded our new CHRO and CFO. Being recognized as India's number 12th ranked and Asia's number 41st ranked amongst the great places to work is also a proud endorsement of our people practices. As we enter FY26, we remain cautious of the prevailing macroeconomic, tariff, and geopolitical uncertainties across India, Europe, and the global markets. However, we are committed to carrying forward the momentum of Q4 into the full year, as we believe that we are building a strong foundation to capture growth once macroeconomic conditions are on the upswing. Our strong portfolio of brands, deep distribution network, and investments in new product development and digital capabilities position us well to leverage this recovery as it happens. As we look at FY26 and beyond, our path is clear. With integrity, collaboration, and excellence at its core, we at Birla Nu aspire to redefine industry benchmarks and drive meaningful impact. With that, I conclude my opening remarks. I thank you for your patience for being with us today and hearing our story. Let me invite now Ajay to walk you through the financial details. Over to you, Ajay.
Thank you, Akshat, and good afternoon to everyone on the call. It's my pleasure to take you through the financial and operational performance for quarter 4 and FY25. Despite a volatile market and external environment, with softening demand, price compression, and heightened competitive intensity, we delivered growth in both volumes and revenue. This underscores the resilience of our diversified portfolio and the sound execution of our strategic priorities. For quarter four FY25, our consolidated revenues grew by 9% year-on-year to rupees 929 crore, with full-year revenue rose by 7% to 3,615 crore. This growth was broad-based with steady performance across most segments despite macroeconomic headwinds. In roofing solutions, revenues remained flat at rupees 254 crore in quarter four, primarily due to pricing pressure and softness in rural demand. However, this performance needs to be seen in light of an industry-wide degrowth in the volumes. Our continued investment in brand building and deepening channel relationships have helped us sustain market share and reinforce consumer trust. In building solutions, we face challenges owing to delayed infrastructure projects and sluggishness in uptake. However, we recorded volume growth across all product lines except blocks, resulting in a modest year-on-year revenue decline of 3% to rupees 141 crore for the quarter. The polymer solution segment recorded strong momentum with revenues growing 40% year-on-year to 185 crore during the quarter, supported by robust retail traction and strategic leverage from the Crestia acquisition, which has strengthened our position in the eastern region. The pipes business saw 80% volume growth and 66% revenue growth, closing the quarter at rupees 141 crore. The underlying volume performance remains solid, reflecting our growing market presence and improving product mix. In flooring solutions led by Parador, we recorded revenue of rupees 348 crore in quarter four, translating to 9% growth year-on-year. This performance is commendable given that the European market remained in a double-digit decline. Our focus on portfolio premiumization, global expansion, and operational streamlining helped mitigate margin pressure. Parador's order pipeline remains strong, and we are beginning to see early gains from our strategic push into newer markets. During the quarter, year-on-year profitability has improved by 20 basis points, whereas quarter-on-quarter it is 310 basis points due to growth in volumes and revenue as well as stricter control on operating costs. EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 32 crore compared to rupees 28 crore in the same quarter last year, with consolidated PBT stood at a loss of 20 crore for quarter four. However, these investments are aligned with our long-term strategic goals and are essential for building scalable future-ready operations. We continue to maintain a sharp focus on financial discipline. Our working capital efficiency programs are yielding visible gains, which has helped us to reduce our working capital marginally despite 7% growth in revenue at consolidated level. Our total debt stood at rupees 708 crore as of 31st March 2025 with a debt equity ratio of 0.58x. The increase in debt during the year was primarily to fund the acquisition of the Crestia Group in the month of April. Looking ahead, we remain committed to drive growth through a balanced focus on operational excellence, strategic investment, and market expansions. That concludes my remarks. I now invite moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Parikshit Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity and for the presentation. I have a couple of questions across different segments. And before that, just wanted to share some context. I do understand the trajectory of the company since the past many years and the current strategic changes which have been happening over the past 12 to 16 months, 18 months are long-term initiatives. So all my questions will be with a medium-term 3 to 5 year view. So first question is on the polymer segment. I do understand the high growth numbers, you know, which has also contributed from the Crestia acquisition, but there is a slowdown in terms of B2G spending, B2G business. I just wanted to understand on FY26 and FY27 level, what would be the tentative share that you are expecting from B2G and the rest of the business?
If I look back at FY25, aggregate portfolio of pipes, we would about 75% B2C, 15% B2B, and 10% B2G. As we look ahead, I think the mix of 30, which is 70% on B2C side and 30% on B2B plus B2G is how it should pan out as we go forward.
Understood. And for this segment, talking about the profitability, we do understand that PVC resin prices have been strongly corrected in the past few quarters, even past few years. I think I looked at the Reliance numbers very recently. They had released the April 15 figures, which was also around 73, 74 per kg and, you know, a little range bound for different grades, of course. Even with the introduction of an anti-dumping duty from the Chinese PVC imports, the prices have still not shown an upside. What do you think will be a point maybe tentatively when the prices start going back up again?
I think putting a specific time is a hazardous guess. Here are two, three factors to watch out for. The contrary to what you are describing, the anti-dumping duty for our relevant grades has still not been introduced. So there is a wide industry-wide expectation that that should happen. When it happens, I think it's anybody's guess, but hopefully in the near term. The second thing to watch out is the introduction of BIS standards for imported materials, especially CPVC. That will also have an upward bias on the pricing. Again, the next timeline to watch out for that is around the June timeframe. And the third is the larger demand-supply situation as far as PVC is concerned. A big reason for the current reduction in prices or the soft pricing regime is that at a global level, there is a lot of excess capacity. Demand beyond India in most global markets is benign, which is why there is a lot of excess supply coming in. Now that's a larger structural thing, which again, we should keep a watch out for. So those are three factors to keep in mind. But what is that? Which of these will play out when, I think is a difficult one to predict.
Understood. I also understand that there is a focus on increasing the portfolio in polymer itself, in pipings, of high value-added products. Your foray into OPVC, you know, plant is also, you know, a testament to that fact. But I understand that a lot of sales locally happens in UPVC, which is like, you know, the lower quality, including the B2G projects. Can you help me understand, you know, high-level split between more commoditized products such as UPVC and value-added products, and how do you see them going forward?
If recall, on two metrics, Our pipes business was always amongst the better companies in the industry, and this was pre-acquisition. We were amongst the better companies in terms of the share of CPVC in the overall portfolio, and we do not want to give up on that positioning. So we were always hovering in the 37 to 40% share of CPVC in our portfolio. And we continue to be that for that part of the business, and that will remain a key focus area. The second thing was, as a result of this, our NS, our sales price per kg was always amongst the top three or four players. And that again is a key metric that we continue to watch for. So that's again at a philosophy level. But if I now aggregate and I also include the Crestia part of the portfolio, last year we were at about 30% of CPVC, and the PVC part was about 55-57%, and the remaining are value-added products. So things like tanks, things like HDP fitting, electrofusion fittings, etc., constitute the remaining 10%. So I would say between CPVC and value added, we are still at about the 37 to 40% range, and that's the right mix for us to continue in our portfolio. And you are right, the introduction of OPVC, and when it does come out from the production line towards the end of Q4, and there are other initiatives in the bag which are designed to ensure that this ratio is maintained as we go forward.
Understood. My second question is on Parador. I do understand that in the past few quarters the growth has been relatively strong, but if we look at competitors, local competitors in the European market overall, over the past 5 years, yes, they have done low single digit growth. It's a 5 year CAGR, so with obviously troughs and in between, but their EBITDA margins are high. For example, Tarkett is doing 8%, James Halstead is around 20%, and Forbo, which is more of a diversified player, is around 15%. So I just wanted to understand, are we, gaining market share at the, you already alluded to that fact, but what do we, what margin percent do we see as our target after, let's say, we are at a comfortable position in terms of the overall market share?
So, Parikshit, I will at least offer a couple of points as we do these comparisons. First, 5 year picture has to be broken into the right chunks, because there was a disruptive event about 2.5 years ago, which is what led to the meltdown in the market. So please do the comparisons pre the war scenario, the Ukraine war scenario, and post the Ukraine war scenario, number one. Number two, the competitors that you are talking about are nearly $1 billion outfits which have been playing across multiple geographies for a fairly long time. So the skill and the segment focus that they have are slightly different. So there is that bit also to put in the right context. That said, for us, the steady state margin, and if we start replicating the revenue numbers that we were doing pre-war situation, is in the 8 to 10% range at an operating margin level. Do we have a line of sight? Yes. What is the key driver for that line of sight? It is essentially more volume growth from where we currently are. So we finished last year, FY25, at a revenue of about 145 million euros at a gross level. As these numbers start crossing 165, 170, 175, the margin picture looks increasingly better. But when we exited, let's say, quarter four and the profitability that we have reported, quarter four was at a run rate of about 160 at an annual level, 40 million into four, so it's about 160, and at that the margins start looking positive around the 4-5% mark. Does that answer your question, Parikshit?
Yes, this is very helpful. Just final question.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. I would request you to please rejoin the queue for your follow-up question.
Sure, I will. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is...
Thank you, Parikshit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jiten Parmar from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Hi, Jiten.
Hi, Akshat. Good afternoon to you, and congratulations on delivering a decent set of results in a tough and challenging time. I have seen most of the stuff, and I think your presentation also has provided a lot of detail. Now, just a couple of questions I have. One is on the OPVC side. I saw that that is something which we are starting or basically plan to do. So I want to know what is the capacity of that particular line we are putting in and what is the revenue potential for that? And
so
also
the
what is the
line
capex
that we are putting
to be incurred?
Okay. So first, what is the capacity? Of course, we are looking at it as a opportunity which will be scalable or which will scale into a much larger play over a period of time. The phase one of the investment, which is where we are, will have a revenue potential of north of 100 crores. And the capacity will be in the zone of about 5,000 tons per annum. So that's the thing that we have. We are putting together two lines, but with a flexibility to add more lines as the demand and the volumes pick up. So yeah, I think that's where we are.
Yeah. So and the capex to be incurred for this, and what are the margins we are expecting in this?
So OPVC market, I'm sure you are aware of how the margin structure looks like. These are much better than the traditional PVC pipes. So we should be in the mid-teens as far as the operating margins for that particular segment is concerned. CapEx will be in the zone of about 35-40 crore for just phase one. This does not include the cost of technology acquisition and so on.
Okay. And regarding the pipes division, I think that is one division which dragged us down quite a bit in this quarter. Now, I want to know, were there any inventory losses we had in this, I mean, as a mix of the losses we showed?
We did, and you would recall, in this year at an aggregate level, the price erosion has been north of 10%. And hence, yes, there were inventory losses to the tune of about, at an aggregate level, the ballpark number would be about 15 crore this year.
15 crore for the full year, right?
That's right.
Okay. And my last question is on Parado. You did mention that at 40 million euro run rate, we are EBITDA positive. So what is our kind of, you know, guidance or what we can see for next year? Do we expect Parado to be EBITDA positive in FY26?
We should certainly hope for that, and I think we are internally planning for a better scenario than just EBITDA positive. I will resist from giving a very firm guidance in terms of where the numbers are going, but I would draw a lot of strength from how the last few quarters have panned out, and that is the momentum that we would want to carry. As I stated, quarter four, we did about 1.7 million euros of operating margin, so EBITDA was about that much. So, and that's a good sign. We, of course, need to, you are aware the business has seasonal cycles and so on, so notwithstanding that, we should aim for strong results in this year.
Great. Thanks, and wishing you all the best for basically the renaming of the company. I think it's a good decision, and also for executing all the plans. So good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's all. Thank you for your kind words.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rajat Setia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Rajat. Hi.
Hi, Akshay. Hi. So, with regards to the polymer division, I think we mentioned that we had inventory losses of around 15 crore in this year, right?
That's right.
So, overall, at the in this division, at the PPT level, we had 48 crores of losses in this year. So, will it be possible to help us and to help us understand the breakup of these losses? I mean, 15 crores is inventory losses, and what else would you attribute that to?
So, Rajat, there is a depreciation because we have invested almost 260 crore in Crestia. So, there is a depreciation on account of acquisitions, plus depreciation on account of our organic investment, which we did in 2018 to 2020. That comes to around 30 crore. And on top of it, there is a borrowings in the Crestia books, which is direct borrowings in this business. The interest amount will be around 13-14 crore per year.
And you, I think I missed something. You said depreciation and something else as well. That is 30 crore. What is that other component?
30 crore is depreciation and around 14 crore is direct interest in this business because of the debt lying in the Crestia books.
Okay. Understood. And there are no any one-off expenses or losses in this division in the whole year?
No. Okay. Not in this segment.
Okay, understood. And with regards to our B2G business, how is the demand outlook right now? Is the business momentum picking up again after the slowdown that everybody witnessed during the election year?
I would say the expectation is picking up. Hopefully the reality will follow soon. So you are aware these kinds of things, and especially in the B2G, what goes down takes a little bit of time to pick up. But the action, the flurry of activities give fuel to the expectations that we are round the corner. In fact, in some segments and some states, there are orders flowing in. So, for instance, the state of UP, not in the traditional JJM, but the Amrut 2.0, which is a similar scheme but more towards the urban areas, that has picked up. There are orders flowing through. So we are witnessing green shoots. Of course, from our vantage point, we would want a greater flurry of activities already.
And in this, and we would like to keep this business like B2G mix in the polymer, in the packing business to 10-15%. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah, I think in the overall mix, and see, somewhere the B2G business serves two purposes. One, there will be years where that 10% may look like a 20%, but somewhere we have to have resilience in the overall mix. What this has also done, which we were not doing previously, is that it has opened up avenues on the B2G side for our other product segments. So what we sell on the, for instance, for our walls business, what we sell for our construction chemical, or even the flooring business, there is a fair amount of leads that we are chasing in that. And that is why, as a unified entity, now that we are going to a lot of these government channels, it is yielding good results. So it may not be pipes in all cases, but it is one product or the other, which I think was the larger strategic intent behind developing this whole B2G muscle, which I think is playing out nicely for us.
In the parallel, did we mention the gross margin that we made in this quarter and the year? I think I missed that.
Sorry, Rajat, your voice is a bit muffled. If you can say that again.
Yeah, sure. Just a listen.
Is it better now?
Yes, much better.
Okay. I was saying, in the Parador division, did we mention the gross margin that we made in this quarter and the whole year? And what is that number? If you can repeat again. I think I missed that.
With Parador, our materials margin last year was 53.5%. Materials margin last year was 46.5%. This year it is 46.2%. That is largely on account of product mix change.
Yeah.
And this is at the full year level, 46.2%.
Yeah, so we typically stay in that. I think there is some line of sight to improving this, because one lever that we have started pulling from the last quarter is the price lever. As price increase for the same cost of material, the margins will look better and healthier. But broadly 46 to 48% is the right level at which to operate.
Yeah, sure. And on the roofing side, we used to make, there was a time, a 4-5 year time period when we were doing 20% plus. I understand right now market situations are very poor, but at the same time, I think our raw material costs have also gone up after the war that started Russia-Ukraine. So do you see us going back to 18-20% kind of margin levels, or that kind of pass on of raw material costs is not easy and we will probably remain around
12-15% now? So 18-20% is a goalpost too far at this moment. If you recall, last year we were at around the 13% mark. This year, barring some one-off things, we are in that 12-13% range. I think the first psychological milestone to cross is 15-16%. And all of it, I would say, and without qualification, is to do with the prevailing price conditions and the competitive nature of the market, especially when the demand has largely stayed stable or even reduced in some pockets. So unless, as an industry, there is a upward price movement, the margin situation is likely to stay in a similar zone. And I'm being cautious here. We will, of course, as a company, continue working on the cost side and the raw material side and so on. But there is limited leverage available on that. Pricing needs to be better. And for that to be better, demand situation has to be better.
Sure. And how is the current demand situation, and what has been the price pricing change in roofing over the last 1 year on full year basis?
So the sentiment is largely flat. This is, of course, from a roofing perspective, an important quarter, because a big chunk of the volumes are done in this year. So when I compare it with last year, at the halfway mark, the expectation is that the volumes we should be doing overall as an industry may be similar or slightly better volumes, but at prices which are not really very encouraging. So I think that's the picture as it stands. So I will say we are cautious about the prospects on this one at the moment.
Sure. And what has been the pricing change on full year basis in this division?
I'm sorry?
What has been the pricing change on full year basis in roofing?
Pricing change for roofing for the full year, FY25?
Yes.
So there's been a drop of about 1.5%-2%.
Okay. All right. Understood. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, what is the CapEx which we have done for the expansion of our building blocks facility?
So by the time this is completed, it will be in the zone of about 40 to 45 years.
And the capacity addition would be around 2 lakh tons, right?
That's right. Cubic meter.
Okay. And this is brownfield, right?
This is brownfield, correct.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Akshay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, Nitin. Hi.
Hi. So we talked about OPVC. Just wanted to know the amount. Actually, I missed that during that conversation. So what is the amount we are spending and what is the expected revenue from this CapEx?
So phase one of the project, which is currently on stream, the revenue potential will be north of 100 crores. The investments are in the zone of about 35 to 40 CR.
Got it. And my next question is about Peridot. We mentioned that we started.
And this,
sorry,
this does not include the cost for technology acquisition.
Sorry
okay.
To interrupt, sir.
Sorry, your second question was?
The Peridot in India and Portugal.
Sir, I would request you to please use your handset.
Yes, yeah, I am using handset only.
Now you're audible, sir.
Okay. So my next question was about Peridot. You mentioned that we launched this in India and the results are encouraging. But we also mentioned that in the earlier call that we are building this in US market also. So just wanted to have an update from your side about Peridot in the US market and how it's shaping up over there.
So I think there are three or four markets which are being seeded as we speak. US is one, India is another one. We are also rebuilding the whole Asia Pac footprint, which includes China, and there is Middle East, the whole GCC footprint. These are four markets which are being seeded. Of course, the potential in each of these markets is different and hence the investment profile is different. US will probably be the most aggressive as far as our efforts are concerned. As we speak, we have got our first of team members in place. We have our channel partners in place. There is a lot of brand building activities in terms of participating in the right customer events, connecting with the right influencers, all of that is happening. And there is a steady build-up of pipeline and orders that we are looking at. So all in all, good traction this year. And in the subsequent quarterly calls, we should be able to give more tangible numbers on that account. Similarly, in India, at the moment, the first focus was the formal brand launch, which we have done. We've also appointed channel partners in the key metros. And at the same time, there is now a dedicated team which is driving the B2B part of the business. Focus is, of course, on the commercial demand, and there is a good pipeline that is now with us of orders that we are chasing with potential buyers. So that's where it is.
Got it.
In the US and in China, there is also the activity of product adaptations, because as I had shared earlier, it is not about just copy-pasting the same product. There are some minor adaptations that are done to ensure that there is relevance in the markets we play in. That bit is also going on strongly.
I got it. So will there be any additional expenditures towards building this market making those minor changes in the product, and how much will that be over a period of next 3 years? If you can give some sense about it.
See, the investments are not as much on the CapEx side and on product related things. These are somewhere part of business as usual. However, the investments really are in the team and the marketing efforts that are being done. So they are operating expenses in nature and would typically lead revenue flow by a period of about 6 to 9 months.
I got it.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. I would request you to please use your handset. You are not audible.
Yeah, thank you. I'm wishing you best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nitin.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kishore Kumar from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So when
sorry
is,
to interrupt, sir. I would request you to please use your handset.
Is it okay now?
Much better. Just to request to speak a little louder. Thank you.
Sure. So on the greenfield CapEx, when is likely to be commissioned?
Sorry, say that again. I couldn't follow your question, please.
So on the OPVC greenfield project, so when it is likely to be commissioned?
Around mid to end of quarter four. So in the February-March time frame.
Got it. So overall on the pipes business, what's our expectation for the next year? So given the pricing pressure, what's our expectations on the revenue as well as on the margin?
See, we want to continue the momentum that we have gained this year. So, and I've already stated the overall aspiration that we have for this business over the next 3 year period. So that would effectively mean that every year we'll have to be almost doubling ourselves. Now that's at least the larger aspiration we are going in. That's as much as I want to say at this moment.
Got it, sir. So my final question is on the debt side. So do we have any plan on the debt reduction part? So given the interest cost is also high compared to the previous year, what's your plan on the debt side?
So our current debt position is roughly 700 crore as on 31st March. With our budget for next year on account of CapEx working capital, we expect this will slightly go up.
Got it.
We will keep managing the debt situation. Okay.
Yes, sir, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the
Thank you, Kishore.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agicha from HG Hava. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Akshat. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is like what internal IRR benchmarks are used when deploying capital in new product lines?
So we effectively look,
We normally monitor payback of 3 to 4 years, and IRR is in the range of around 18 to 20%.
Because if you see past 8 years now, the revenue like consolidated in March 18 was 1,280 crores, and now it is like upwards of 3,600 crores. So roughly it has 3x in 8 years, but profit has not improved. In fact, it is going down and we are coming in losses. Like, what is going grossly wrong actually?
And at the moment, as I don't think there is anything grossly wrong. There is a situation that we find ourselves in where, from a market perspective and the products that we are, there is a lot of commodity cycle pressure and there is a lot of pressure on margin, which is why structurally and from a long-term perspective, we are looking at differentiation and premiumization of the portfolio. At the same time, in some of our segments where we did not have scale, the attempt is to build scale, and that's what we are pushing for. So while the commodity cycles will keep going up and down, the idea is to rise above that, and which is the situation. And hence, in a low commodity cycle, the simple focus is for us to achieve volume growth and gain market share in these subscale categories.
Because in the segments which we are in, like the water tanks and the PVC pipes and other companies, are they are growing and they are having good margins.
I think we should do the comparison, at least what our comparison and analysis of numbers over the last 2 or 3 quarters are concerned. I don't think we compare poorly to our peer set. We need to recognize from a pipes perspective and polymer perspective, it has been a difficult year just given the volatility on the resin and input price, and everyone has suffered on that account. So the inventory losses that we are talking about proportion to the scale of our business will probably be amongst the lowest, and every player has booked those. So those challenges remain at an industry level.
Thank you, sir, and all the best for the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sai Ganesh from Square 64 Capital Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, in FY24, Crestia generated around 330 crores of revenue. And in FY25, revenue has declined significantly to 80 crores. Given the fixed cost base, and this has resulted in a loss of 45 crores in FY25 at overall pipe division. What is our plan to scale up in Crestia and address this gap?
So
Crestia revenue in FY24 was 330 crore, which includes JJM revenue of close to 200 crore. Whereas FY25 Crestia revenue is 152 crore, include JJM revenue is in the range of 40-45 crore. So one of the main reasons for drop in revenue is the government projects in FY25, which is much, government spending is much lower than what they were in FY24.
Okay, what kind of revenue we can expect in FY26 from Crestia?
In our internal plan, we are expecting only a modest, and this is us being conservative, we are expecting a modest recovery on the JJM side, but a very solid growth on the retail side. In fact, even in this year, the first year of our acquisition, the retail segment for Crestia grew by about 10 to 15%. So that momentum will continue. Also, as the JJM part and the government orders start flowing in, there is an upside on that. So I will say we will need to watch out the JJM situation carefully, but we are pushing hard on the retail segment. The numbers, even at an exit rate level in March, point to a fairly decent growth in this year for Crestia.
I will also urge you to have a comparison at a volume-to-volume basis, because the year that you are highlighting, the pricing, PVC prices were at a very different level compared to this year. So there is at least some impact of that.
Yeah, but I understood. But we have grown our revenue by 57%, but our losses are raised to minus 48 crores. What is the future plan for reducing these losses in pipes division?
So the plans remain along the lines of our previous commentary on this. We are scaling up, and that gives us benefit. There is also, now that the prices of PVC are at the level at which they are, and we believe that they are at the rock bottom, the whole factor of inventory losses also somewhere goes away. So that is another positive. Since we have acquired Cresia, there is a fair amount of restructuring on the cost structure that has been done. And that's why at an exit March level, we are at a break-even from an operating perspective. So those things will also play out. So overall, building revenue and scale is one lever. Continuously managing the cost structure, both at Cresia and at the original Birla level, also continues relentlessly. So I think both these factors will be at play. And third is product diversification into segments which are higher profitable. And that's where the likes of OPVC make sense in the overall story.
Okay. What is the revenue from construction chemicals in FY 2024 and 2025?
So, 80.
Yeah. So revenue from construction chemicals for this year is around 82 crore, whereas last year it was 66 crore. Some part of this revenue we report in building solutions, since it is going along with AC blocks.
Okay. And our full year revenue will be 91 crores, roughly. For FY 2025.
120 crore.
Okay. In FY 2023, we made a revenue of 178 crores in putty division.
In FY 2024, it was 147 crore.
In FY 2023?
Yeah. Sorry? Yeah, it was around.
179 crores. 179 crores. Can we expect this division to turn around, right, something, 180 crores back to that levels by FY 2026 or FY 2027?
So in that segment, given the recent trends, we are placing our bets on growing the construction chemicals portfolio. In fact, within that, what we have done on the tile adhesive side is interesting. The revenues have grown by 57% this year, and we will continue pushing on that front. On putty, given the restructuring that's happening in the industry, it is, from our perspective, it feels like a race to the bottom. What we are trying to do is to sustain and protect our niche as a value-added and a slightly premium product. So in order to protect our margins and our price positioning, we are okay not chasing the volumes aggressively on that particular segment. But as a combination, the growth will come from the construction chemical part of that portfolio over the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rahil S. from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Hi. Hi, Rahil.
Yeah. So just one question, you know, based on everything you've said so far on the call, would you be willing to, you know, provide a certain outlook or guidance when it comes to revenue growth and EBITDA margins for this fiscal year?
I would resist giving a very clear guidance. I would, at the same time, we are conscious we need to do significantly better on the growth rates and on the profitability in this financial year. So the focus remains on volume growth and market share growth, and at the same time, improving on profitability. Those levers of profitability improvement have already been identified and have been put into action. And the third factor is there will be a small part of that profitability gain that we will deploy for future medium-term growth. And by medium-term, I'm talking 2 to 3 years. And those investments will essentially happen in the prioritized segments of pipes in construction chemical. Those are the three pillars on which the next year or this particular financial year will rest.
And when it comes to your business segments or product lines, which essentially you think will be the key drivers this year, whether it is volume growth or profitability?
So from a profitability point of view, all our segments, we have identified opportunities where improvement should happen. From a volume growth and revenue growth perspective, this story and this message hopefully remains consistent over the next 2 to 3 years. Pipes has to be the hardest hitter. Construction chemicals has to be a solid hitter, and what we do on the wall segment will be important and interesting to watch out for, especially with new capacity coming through that will give a lot of fillip on the revenue growth side on that segment. And of course, the growth agenda that we are driving at Paradon will also come into play.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investments Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on Paradon. So we are seeing very good growth this year as compared to market, which has been flat or negative. So if you could just provide some granular details, what is leading to such growth? Is it commercial segment or any of the new geographies have scaled up?
I think it's a combination of, I would say the underlying factor is that there is a lot of disciplined and concerted effort across everything that we are doing. So the good news is in our core markets of Germany and the Central Europe region, we have done much better than our expectations, our own expectations. And we have grown across retail and DIY. So one indicator is today we are on more shelves and counters than we have ever been in the history of Paradon. And that is helping. The second thing is the focus on commercial, which is amongst the fastest growing customer channel for us. And it's beginning to yield results. The third is the new geographical expansion beyond the Central Europe, which is now contributing. Of course, the base is small, so the growth rates and those geographies look small. But each of them, and because we sell to a vast bouquet of countries, is adding up to the aggregate number. So all of these are beginning to show results, and that is where, and at an underlying level, the rejuvenation that has been done for both the leadership and the frontline sales team is driving this transformation.
So, what would be the share of commercial in FY25 and from non-Europe market?
So, commercial will still be about, if I'm not wrong, in the 12 to 14% range and growing because the same number last year was lower. Non-Central European sales would be in the zone of about 18 to 20%.
Understood. Second one is on the capacity utilization. What is the capacity utilization in each of our segments currently?
Yeah, so our capacity utilization in case of roofing is in the range of around 85%. In case of blocks, panels, boards, that is walls business, it's, again, it is in the range of same 85-90%. Pipes business,
I think in walls it would go down slightly just given that we've commissioned a new plant. So I would put the number at around the 80% mark there.
Yeah.
In pipes.
In terms of pipes business, our utilization is in the range of 70%, whereas in case of Crestia, it is in the range of 25%, 20-25%.
And at Parada?
55-60%.
Understood. And sir, what would be the CapEx outlook for next year? How much are we going to spend?
So not factoring in any inorganic or any major new plant that we may get onto, but given the plans that we have, it's in the zone of about 200 crores for next year, for this year.
200 crores. Okay, and this would be majorly in
No, this will be
majorly in pipes.
Majorly in pipes. So if I do a rough estimate, then about 40% of this will be in pipes, around 20% in Parador, another 20% in our walls business, and then roofs and CC construction chemical will be the last 20%.
Understood. And for this last question, what is the current standalone debt and debt at Parador?
Current standalone debt is around 294 crore, 295 crore, and Parador debt is around 280 crore. 130 is in question.
Understood. Sure, sir. Thanks for answering my questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for being with us on our call today. This is the first time we are presenting ourselves as Birla Niu. So thank you for patiently hearing and understanding and also appreciating the journey that we are on. As usual, it's been a pleasure interacting with all of you. We value your continued interest and partnership for Birla Niu. And if you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations desk. Thank you very much, and have a good day ahead.
Thank you. On behalf of Birla Niu Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.